Today we want to look at this thought. Mothers are the most powerful, influential people on earth. I say that meaning it because I'm thinking of my mother that is now 99 years old. I pray for her every day, and I'm going to keep her as long as I can. Can you say amen? The greatest force in the world is the love of a mother. In Ruth chapter 1 verse 8, and Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, and as you have dealt kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead, your dead husbands, and with me, said you've been kind to us, and now I pray that God will be kind to you. Naomi and her husband moved to Moab. How this happened, that they met, these young men married Moabite women. Naomi and her husband moved to Moab from Israel because of a famine. Their two sons married Moabite women. Then the two sons and their father died. And Naomi was left in Moab, a Jewish lady with two Moabite daughter-in-laws. And so Naomi says, just go back to your family, and I'm going back to Israel. So Naomi decided to move back to Israel. Verse 14, and they lifted up their voices and wept again. Let me refresh you a memory just for a second here. And Naomi said unto her two daughter-in-laws, go return to your mother's house. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law and left, but Ruth clave to her. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. In other words, she said, I'm going to make the God of Israel my God, and I'm going to spend the rest of my life taking care of you. You see, she had really adopted her in her heart as her mother, this Jewish lady. You're talking about race issues, a Moabite and a Jew. And we know we're supposed to love each other. Amen. Now look at the love and the commitment that Ruth gave to her adopted mother. Ruth honored Naomi as her own mother. Verse 7, as a matter of fact, she honored Naomi better than most of us honor our real mothers. Can you say, praise the Lord? It's not a good thing, but we need, hopefully after this message, we'll love our mothers a little more. Okay. Verse 17, where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Now that's a commitment to your mother. When they got back to Israel, Ruth worked in the fields to provide for her adopted mother. She was an older lady by now, and no one to take care of her. Ruth, by divine direction, found herself working in the fields of Boaz, one of the richest men in Israel, who also qualified to be the kinsman redeemer. You're talking about God blessing and blessing someone who really was in love with their mother-in-law, adopted mother, I might say, as I've already said. She was out in the field working, and she was in Israel. She's a Moabite. She didn't know any of these people, and most of them probably didn't think very much of her. And she was out there working, and Boaz saw her, and he knew the story, and he said, this young woman is a widow, and she's a Moabite, but you take care of her, and don't you do anything to harm her in any way. And by the way, she gathered grain that was left behind after the reapers went through. And he says, you leave a little behind on purpose for that Moabite lady. And they did. It turned out, as I just mentioned, that he was the kinsman redeemer. And the law was that if a Jewish man died and left his wife without children, the closest of kin, a kinsman redeemer, could marry her and have children in his name. And so this was the case of Boaz. It turned out that she's in the right field. Can you say amen? And it just so happened he's one of the richest men in town, or in all of Israel. And because Ruth honored Naomi and went back to Israel, she wouldn't have been in Israel, you know, if she hadn't been in love with her adopted mother. She wouldn't have been blessed, is what. And besides that, she became a believer in the God of Israel and got to go to heaven. Can you say amen? Because Ruth honored Naomi, her mother-in-law, honored her as her mother, God gave her a rich husband, Boaz, and a baby boy. When we really do what we're supposed to do and love people and care about people, there's too many of us, we want to get ahead no matter who we walk on or no matter who we mistreat. We need to take a little time, at least for our mama. Can you say amen? And let her know today how much we love and appreciate her. Y'all help me pray. I don't forget to call her. Ruth chapter 4, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And her great-grandson became King David. God put this Moabite woman, because of her love for Naomi and her God, because she had put her love toward Naomi and God, God rewarded her by putting her as if she were a Jewish lady in the lineage of King David. She became a great-grandmother of King David. In Ruth chapter 4, verse 20. One, Boaz begot Obed, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David. So God rewarded Ruth because she loved and treated Naomi as her mother's. Can you say amen? As her own mother, I mean. And so we really need to take time for what's important in life. And I'll pray for you if you pray for me. But it pays off. God honors us when we honor the people in our lives who are special. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. You see, God did answer that prayer. And a few years after we got married, Dottie, all of a sudden, she wanted to have a baby, and she just kept saying, I want to have a baby. And I kept saying, well, my daddy was a little bit nuts, and your mother's a little bit nuts, and if we have children, they might be nuts. And she agreed, but she still wanted the baby. Say amen. God puts it in the hearts of people, especially mothers, to have children. And then if you'll just watch them, they love them, they adore them, they sacrifice their life for them, they walk through fire for them. And then a lot of them have no respect for it ever after that. Ha, that blows my mind. How could anyone not show? I know all mothers are not like my mother. You know, some of them have been on drugs and everything else, but she's still your mother. Amen. She got you here. Amen. She had a little help, but she got you here. Right. Little help from dad, and little's probably right in some cases. Verse 27, I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So she was desperate to have a child, and she prayed until God gave her a little boy. And then she kept her word. When he was old enough to wean, she took him up to the temple and gave him to the priest. Hey, Eli. Verse 28, so now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he'll be given over to the Lord. Hannah literally changes history. Well, it would have happened anyway. No, it would not. When we say things like that, we're actually calling the Bible a liar, because the New Testament says the Old Testament was written for our learning. You can learn a lot about the will of God and the direction of God by reading the Word of God and believing it. Then what this is saying to us, if we'll pray, God will answer prayer, and we can change history. It wouldn't have happened anyway. She had already been years and not be able to have a baby. You see, Hannah received through prayer a son she was not supposed to have. And boy, did he turn out to be a doozy. Yay. Samuel, her son, became probably the greatest judge and prophet Israel ever had. Samuel was priest and prophet. In other words, he was the governor and he was the high priest. Samuel anointed Saul to be Israel's first king, and he anointed David to be Israel's second king. You see, Hannah changed history by just praying and believing for a son, and then allowing him to be raised in the house of God. My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her. I could and would and will say that, but I'm quoting George Washington. No great mother, no great George Washington. My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her. If you're thinking mother's not very important, let me change your mind. They're very important. Let the Word of God change your mind. Amen. Matthew 15:22, a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Verse 23, Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away." And I use this story from time to time because it's such a fantastic story about a mother's faith, believing God for her child. If she believed God for her child, you can believe God for yours. Can you say amen? But this time, I want to just show you the love of a mother. I want to focus a little different. This woman loved her daughter, and she didn't care if she embarrassed herself. She was at this meeting with this fantastic young preacher, and she was just yelling, "Help, help me, help my daughter." And the disciple says, "Tell that woman to go away. She's driving us nuts." Verse 24, he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. She wasn't asking for help for herself. She was asking for help for her daughter. This shows you the love of a mother. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." She said, "You can call me anything you want to call me. Just heal my and deliver my daughter. Just heal and deliver my daughter." "But even the dogs get the crumbs." "All I want is a crumb." See, she knew who he was. Somehow she got in that revelation. This is the Christ, the Son of the living God, just like Peter had received. Verse 28, then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. You see, this woman was not a child of God. She was not a Jewish lady. She was a pagan, like Ruth. But when she recognized this was the Son of God, she said, "Man, if I can just get into his presence, somehow my daughter will be healed." And she wouldn't quit. Isn't that a mother? Isn't that just like a mother? But she loved her daughter, and she would not give up no matter what he said or did. Jesus delivered her daughter. You see, God still answers the prayers of mothers. Don't you ever give up on your kid. Can you say amen? Amen. Don't ever give up. God honors the love of a mother. The greatest world changers down through history have been mothers. And today I think mothers have it even tougher than many mothers of the past, because men are working a full-time job and taking care of the children, taking them to school, ball games, and working all day. Can you say amen? They deserve a little respect. They deserve a whole lot of respect. Exodus 2:5, Moses was in a basket floating in the Nile River. How'd he get there? Pharaoh was concerned about the multiplication of the Jews. They were about to outnumber the Egyptians, and so he had enslaved them. And he gives an edict or a command that all the baby boys are to be executed at birth. And so Moses' mother hid him in a basket and floated him in the Nile River. Can you just see a big old crocodile floating by? But the basket got stuck there in the reeds, and Pharaoh's daughter came by. Exodus chapter 2, verse 5. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She should have been his executioner, but she became his mother. When she saw that little baby, that basket, she fell in love with him, and she could not hand him over to the executioners. She is mentioned in history, and I really tried to find her, and I think I did. She is mentioned in history as a powerful woman, but she took time to raise and train a son that wasn't her natural born son. Adopted. A Jew at that, and they were Egyptians, and they were supposed to be putting those babies to death. He not adopted them. You see, this is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. This is one of those babies. Verse 6, she opened the basket, and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. She fell in love with him, is what happened. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. So Miriam, you know, the one that got in trouble because she was talking against her brother Moses. And God says, he may be your brother, but you have to respect him because he's my authority. Remember that story? I told it not too long ago. Do y'all pay attention to any of my sermons? Pay attention to this one. This is a good one. So Miriam was there watching from a distance that basket. Her mother no doubt had her there. And Moses' older sister ran over to Pharaoh's daughter and asked her if she would like to have a Hebrew woman to help nurse her son that she had just got out of the river. He said, I can go find a Hebrew lady to nurse this baby for you. And Pharaoh's daughter said, go. Verse 8, yes, go, she answered. And the girl, Miriam, went and got the baby's very own mother, Moses' mother. Have me believe in God. He is working in your life. Can you say amen? And especially today, mother, he's working in your life. No matter how bad things look, don't give up. Keep your eye on the Lord. Keep your eye on Jesus. Meditate on his word. Focus your full undivided attention to the favorite promises that he's given you. Yes, go, she answered. And she went and got the baby's mother. Verse 9, Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this baby. Now she's talking to Moses' very own mother. Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. She didn't know it, but she's saying, I'll pay you for taking care of your own son. The son was supposed to be dead by now. And so God turned that around so that Pharaoh's daughter is now paying, a Hebrew lady to take care of her own son. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. Moses' mother took the baby and nursed him. Verse 10, listen. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses. That's where he got his name, from his adopted Egyptian mother. His Egyptian mother named him, saying, I drew him out of the water, and so his name will be Moses. God was using Moses' Egyptian mother and his Hebrew mother to develop probably the greatest leader who ever lived. We got the Ten Commandments from him, through him, from God. Second Corinthians today say they're irrelevant. No, it's still relevant not to kill, not to steal, not to commit adultery, play around with other women, when you, especially when you're married. Can you say amen? It's still relevant.
Amen.
What about that? This Egyptian mother didn't know she was raising probably the greatest, most influential man who ever lived. Acts chapter 7, verse 22, look at this. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. When God called him, he put on act like we do. So I can't talk plain. This says he was eloquent. He probably had a little speech impediment of some sort. Arnold Schwarzenegger, some people say he has a little speech problem. But he's become a multi-millionaire, one of the greatest actors who ever lived. Can you say amen? So sometimes we use little things as excuses. But this says Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. So she trained him as an Egyptian and did not allow him to even visit the Jewish slaves until he was 40 years old. He had a whole different training and upbringing to the Jews of that day. You see, God was training him to be the greatest leader who ever walked on earth. An image of her adopted son is engraved on the Supreme Court building of the United States today. The power and influence of a loving mother. You see, our founding fathers clearly based our laws, in spite of what the lying secular humanists tell us and the Marxists tell us, our founding fathers clearly based our laws on the laws of Moses. Moses was her greatest accomplishment. No, I had to search in history to even try to find her name. But we all know who Moses is. And it wouldn't have been a Moses if it hadn't been for her. God used her. He'd been dead. She changed history. Abraham Lincoln was the product of a great mother. He said, all that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. Let me just say, me too. Can anyone here say, me too? He said, Abraham Lincoln said, and all that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. You see, without a godly mother, there would be no salvation for any of us. Luke chapter 1, verse 34, and then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? You know, if an angel came to a young teenage a young girl today and made a proposal like this, I mean, just think of how hard that would be to say okay, because nobody's going to believe you. Oh, so an angel told you that? Oh, really? Well, they were no different then. Matter of fact, probably stronger on that then than we are now. So for this young woman to accept this, it was really a great step of faith. Then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man. Verse 35, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. God could not have done it without a willing mother. He had to have a righteous man to die in my place. He could not find one anywhere. We all were contaminated with sin. The only way he could remedy the problem was to have a young woman, to have his son, the Spirit of Jesus, that's been with God forever and ever and ever, went into her. And when she had a baby, it was the Spirit of the Son of God in human flesh. And so God had his perfect man, because a righteous man, because the Son of God is righteous. Can you say amen? And so he was the Son of God, fully God and fully human, because he's born of a willing woman. That's how you got saved. Wouldn't have happened without a mother. God could not have done it without a willing mother. Galatians 4:4 says, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son born of a woman, born under the law. Verse 5, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, and or that we might receive the adoption as sons. You see, Mary changed history. She gave birth to the Son of God, literally. And he died for my sins and for yours. You can't tell me he's not real, because he lives in me and I know the guy. Because of a mother, we have been redeemed from sin and death. In John chapter 19, verse 25, now there stood at the cross of Jesus his mother. Jesus' mother was always there. She stood by him even when he was being crucified. Can you imagine how heartbreaking it was for a son to be hanging naked on that cross, bleeding to death? But she stood there. She wouldn't leave. When Jesus, therefore, saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, that would be John, he said unto his mother, now he's dying, hanging on a cross, bleeding and dying. She's standing there looking up at him, no doubt crying, sobbing. Then he said to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. You see, the Son of God has a mother. Mary was there for her son. And in his last moments before death, Jesus made sure his mother was being taken care of. What about that? You're talking about a son that loved his mother and appreciated his mother. What an example for us. And John took her in. Wow. He asked John to take her into his home, and Jesus is there in heaven with her right now. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 16, verse 1. He came to Derbe, and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother. Look at the chain here. Handing faith down from mother to mother. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. So these mothers passed down their faith one from one to another down to Timothy. You see, these mothers pass their faith on to their children. Mothers, pass your faith on to your children. Amen. Be a world changer. Let God use you to bless your children and introduce them to Jesus Christ. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. I remember when I was about 3 or 4 years old, my mother had a dime. And it seems like standing out by daddy's old truck is the way I see it as I close my eyes. And she had this dime, and she said, one penny of this dime goes to God. You need to tithe on your money. I don't think I've ever got a dime I didn't tithe on, because she told me that. And when I came, very few people in our family ever went to college. And when I told my dad I wanted to go to college, I knew God had called me to preach, and I didn't want to be a dumb, stupid preacher. Can you say amen? Some people would say I didn't quite get it. Didn't quite make it. But at least I tried. Can you say amen? So I told my daddy, I want to go to college. He said, well, I can't pay for it. I said, I got 8 kids. I can't pay for all 8, so I'm not paying for yours. I said, I don't care. I didn't ask you to pay for it. I didn't want him to pay for it. I mean, I'm super dude. I can do it. Can you say amen? I got me a job, went to work. In 1 year, I went on a mission trip or something, and I don't remember what happened, but I didn't have the money for one semester of school. We had a farm. My mother milked our cows and sold milk. You couldn't legally do it today. The government's got their nose in everything today. It's time we chopped her nose off. Can you say amen? So she sold milk. And got the money from selling that. She sold enough milk. She paid for one semester of my college. Amen. I'm always so busy bragging about how I worked my way through college and seminary and all of that, I forget to say, except for one semester. Yeah, I don't know. I may have had to drop out. I don't know what would happen if she hadn't sold that milk. And gave the money to me. 1 Timothy 5:4, it says, and if a widow, a mother, has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put the religion into practice by caring for their own family and to repay their parents. He's primarily talking about mothers, but we are allowed to include fathers a little bit, but this is not Father's Day, so we're focusing on mother. Can you say amen? Is that okay? First of all, to put the religion into practice by caring for their own family, meaning their own mother. Can you say amen? Of course, and father as well. For this is pleasing to God. Honor your mother. We must put our religion into practice by caring for our mothers. This is pleasing to God. Mothers are the most powerful and influential people on earth. Mary changed history more than any king ever could by giving us Jesus. The greatest force in the world is the love of a mother. The greatest world changers down through history have been mothers. Without a godly woman, there would not be salvation available for us today.